Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Right, we had some slight technical difficulties there, but we're now online. So hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Turn the Page. My name is Mark Pacey from the Wired Upper Archive, and today I'm taking you through two more disaster stories, which is our new thing that we are doing. We've got five different ones to pick from, so today we are doing earthquakes and we are doing pandemics. So to start off with, we're doing an earthquake, one of the earliest ones that's been recorded for our area. On January 23rd, 1855, just after 9:10 p.m., a massive earthquake struck. It was felt all over and was centred around Wellington and the wider upper region. It was the largest magnitude earthquake recorded since 1840 and caused extensive damage. But accounts in newspapers at the time were very brief. But accounts in the newspaper at the time were very brief. The Wellington Independent, after being asked so many times for more details, issued the following statement. The hodgepodge thus prepared for the public repast, gathered with little discrimination from all quarters, with less innocent object than to gratify a morbid appetite or turn a ready penny, we should have left untouched and noticed, and did we not think it was calculated, we would not say intended, to do serious damage to this province. A full and authentic account of the late calamity ought to be published. Who do not therefore complain of our contemporary given its version of the occurrence? This was an extremely long way of saying the reporting at the time was a bit on the vague side and they should have made a better report, which they then proceeded to do in a more colourful account. Within seconds, the papers now reported that the capital was in turmoil, chimneys were in pieces, and many of the brick buildings were reduced to rubble. The wooden structures had a bit more give to them, but many of these were also damaged or destroyed. The only cause given for there not being more casualties was the smaller population at the time. In Wairarapa, there was also extensive damage and changes in the landscape. Slips occurred all over, particularly in the Remutaka Range. In Wellington, one person was killed, but in Wairarapa, the toll was higher. A whare collapsed, killing Māori living inside. Records were vague, but the casualties numbered between 2 and 6 persons. As with all large earthquakes, there was a danger of tsunami. Waves causing damage in the Wellington harbour, but also in Te Kopi on the Wairarapa coast. Sheds were washed away, as were several bales of wool, which were waiting to be transported to Wellington. By the end of January, government workers, as well as residents, cleared the road from Wellington to Wairarapa of slips. Luckily, the bridges that spanned rivers and streams in the Remutaka Range did not appear to be damaged. A remarkable feature that came out of the shake was the creation of a new water feature. 9 kilometres north of Masterton, a series of slips and land collapses created would become known as the Hidden Lakes. 2 freshwater lakes, Nakopuaranga, were formed between the Ruamahanga River and the Ruapai Stream and are now tourist attractions. The area is not without its tragedy. A nearby pa site, Tirohanga a Hine Tio Rorangi, was buried in the landslide. While the lakes are a beautiful feature and worth a visit, Whakaute needs to be shown, as this is also the final resting place for a lost village and its inhabitants. Right, now, trying to keep our music themes going, and we're going to try and do this all the way through. We're probably going to start being a bit vague towards the end, like we did with the shipwreck one. We started running out of ways to try and find songs relating to shipwrecks. Well, we're trying to find today a song relating to an earthquake. And again, I'm stretching it a little bit here. But in an earthquake, you have a lot of this happening. So here we have, and I've written my notes down here so I get this correct, from 1958, here we have Jerry Lee Lewis doing a whole lot of shaking going on.
And in the barn, whose barn was born, my barn. Come on over, baby. Well, I got you through by the horn. We're making a whole lot of shaking going on. Easy now, shake it. Oh, shake it, baby. Yeah. You can shake it one time for me. Now let's get real low one time now. Shake, baby, shake. All you gotta do, honey, is kind of stand in one spot. Wiggle around just a little bit. That's what you got. Yeah.
Quite know what happened there. For some reason it was playing it twice. We seem to be back. I think I was somehow playing Arrow while I was listening to Arrow, so Just bear with me while I try and reload some of what I had on there. It always happens on a Monday, doesn't it? So, yes, we have one more story, so I'll just quietly reload my music again in the background and then we'll get onto it. So what was my second bit of music I was going to play for you? Right. Nearly there, I swear. Right, that should be loaded, and that should almost be loaded. Oh, actually, I better load it up now just in case something happens. Knowing my luck. Where are we? Just thinking about it. There we go. That sounds good. That sounds like we're all good. Fingers crossed. Let's go from there. Right. The Great War ended in 1918 and took the lives of millions of men, but this terrible conflict would pale into comparison with an even greater disaster which was just starting. The world had no time for celebrations at the end of the war as a terrible sickness was now spreading across the world. Commonly called the Spanish flu, the first recorded case of the disease was actually in Kansas in the United States in March of 1918. The name came to be attributed to strict censorship in countries during the war. As Spain was neutral, they did not have censorship of their media, so reported on the virus and its effects. It looked like the disease was rampant in Spain, but not elsewhere. This couldn't be further from the truth. An effort was made by the Spanish government to correct this as early as October of 1918, but it did not work, and the name stuck. In August, the war was not yet over, and what better place for the influenza virus to spread than a military camp crammed with men that would then travel to other camps in other countries, taking the virus with them. The flu made its way across the world, which included New Zealand. Ships were also the perfect place for the virus to spread, with the cramped conditions and low ventilation. A New Zealand soldier on one of the ships described the horrific scenes. 24 hours after the first man went down with this new brand of flu, there were 200 in the hospital, and very few have missed. Both doctors went down on the first day. A disturbing trend was the belief that smoking was a great deterrent to the virus, with smokers smoking more and others taking up the nasty habit, believing it would keep them from catching it. The local newspaper were pretty quiet about the epidemic. Not a lot was being reported. One of the biggest clues to the epidemic being around was the abundance of medicines claiming to cure and relieve the disease. January of 1919, statistics were released about the influenza deaths in New Zealand, including some of the wider upper towns. Masterton had 78, Carterton had 25, and Featherston, due to the military camp, had a mammoth 181 deaths in the three-month period. Just take a walk in the Featherston Cemetery in the soldiers' section and you will see a large number that died during this period. The war had taken a huge toll on New Zealand. 18,166 people died in the conflict over the course of the 4 years. In the last months of 1918, 9,000 people in Aotearoa died from the flu. Worldwide, the toll was even greater. An estimated 20 million died in the war. But in those few months at the end of 1918, the flu claimed an estimated 50 million lives. And unlike other illnesses, the 1918 flu was most devastating against healthy younger people, especially Māori. Only the Black Death had a greater toll in the history of the world's pandemics. Well, on that lovely note, and now that fingers crossed, the music and everything is going to work really nice now. Here's a, again, I didn't know the song. I went on Google and you go, songs about, you know, songs about being sick or songs about the flu. And this one came up. I checked it lyrics. It's not naughty or anything. I'm not going to get in trouble. So here we have, I've lost my mouse pointer now. Here we go. This is Roger Miller doing Lou's Got the Flu.
Some people bad, some people good. Too bad the bad can't be like the good. But everything changes a little and it should. Good ain't forever and bad ain't for good. And Lou's got the flu and he's laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up. Lou's got the flu and he's laid up, laid up. Have to get well pretty soon though. I got sugar in my candy, sugar in my soup. I'm getting fat from the candy, sick from the soup. True love is sweet, but if it's mishandled, a bitter wind blows and out goes your candle. Lou's got the flu and he's laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up. Lou's got the flu and he's laid up, laid up. I have to get well pretty soon though. Now not enough water puts thirst in a man, just enough water puts joy in his land. But too much water will overflow and tear the man's land up. So there you go. And Lou's got the flu and he's laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up, laid up. Lou's got the flu and he's laid up, laid up. Have to get well pretty soon though.
And they wrote very short songs back in the day. That was Roger Miller doing Lou's Got the Flu from 1964. I've never heard that before, and I don't even think I know who Roger Miller is. But yeah, the CD it comes off is King of the Road, The Genius of Roger Miller. Did he do King of the Road? Who am I thinking of? So those are your two stories. I might expand this to three, because I always had the intention that I would play two songs and then talk about various other things that are going on. Play one more piece of music and that would be my half an hour. But even with our technical difficulties, which probably ate up 2 or 3 minutes, I still have 10 minutes left. And I cannot waffle for that long. I can, but I'm not going to waffle for that long. I will fill you in one thing that did happen last week, which was a really brilliant thing. I don't know how many of you watched the TV show, The Repair Show. I got to do that for real. So someone, they brought in a carved walking stick that had been made by the prisoners and the prisoner of war camp in Featherston, and this had snapped in half. And as it had snapped in half, bits of wood had also broken out of this and were missing. So you couldn't just glue the thing back together and you're done, because there's big chunks missing out of this thing. So I then had to carve out the bits that were missing, put in a new piece of wood where that was, and reshape it so it all looked perfect. And you can't just do that with any piece of wood. You have to find the same species of wood. In this case, it was Rimu. The same grain and the same colour. And then shape it. And then use waxes and oils and things to make the colour and the patina all the same. Because this has been around for 80 years. It doesn't look like a new piece of furniture. It's got stains and various things going on. You've got to replicate that into your new piece that you've put in there. Or it'll stand out really badly. So I got to do all of that. It's awesome. It took me a long time. But yeah, I said, I'll do it for nothing. I'll do it for free, which I said, that's what I did. I said, no charge. And just did it for the enjoyment of it. And it was a massive project. But yeah, it's the feeling when you take something that's broken and it's wrecked and you can restore it and you can give it back to them in the condition it would have been like before it was damaged. That's a very cool feeling. So that made my week, really. That was awesome, being able to do that. And I took photos of the whole progress, and I will put it in the book that I'm doing on the prisoner of war camp, just as a little side story. So, well, this is a story of one of the pieces of art. You know, it started off as a walking stick. It had an accident and it was brought back, and it's now a treasured family heirloom again. And it's going to be appreciated. And they said they were going to display it on the wall. So that is so cool. That is awesome. And I'm very pleased I could do what I could to do that. So that is basically it. There's no other major news. I do have a couple of events coming up in the Wellington Heritage Festival, but that doesn't go live until, I think, next month. So I can't give you many more details about that yet, because I don't know for sure whether they've said, yes, we'll do your ones, or whether they go, your events are a bit boring. Maybe we'll go with someone else. So when that's confirmed and everything in there, we'll let you know. So like I said, I've got three events, two that I'm hosting and one that I'm co-hosting. We'll see where we go with that. It sounds positive. One of them is a rescreening of my documentary on the Marine Corps. So if you want to check that out, there's a very good chance that's going to be shown as part of the Wellington Heritage Festival. Not here, I think it's in the Martinborough. I can't remember what the Martinborough one's called, but the Martinborough Theatre. It's a smallish one, but that'll be happening. So if you really, really want to see that and you want to go all the way down there, probably will happen, but like I said, I don't know for sure yet. When we get confirmation that the events are going forward, I will let you know. Otherwise, things are pretty quiet. My three talks last week, one of which was speaking to children for the first time, which I have to admit, it scared me big time. I've spoken to groups of adults, you know, sometimes I think 300 is the most I've ever spoken to. Didn't bother me. 28-year-old kids, that terrified me. I said, no. But as it turns out, TV lied to me. I didn't get heckled. I didn't have things thrown at me. There weren't kids crying. And they were actually pretty good and really quite bright too, which was awesome to see. You know, you ask them a question and they answer it. You're like, wow, I know adults that couldn't answer that question. So well done. So that was there. Yeah, that was my week last week. Like I said, that was pretty much it. Gave three talks, which was nice, but... Yeah, so next I might read three stories next week just so I don't struggle to waffle about things and have you tuning out going, yeah, when does the next show start? So I'm going to play my third piece of music now. We're hopefully not going to get a weird echo thing, and that was entirely my fault. I just had a look. Somehow I was playing on the website. You can listen to Arrow FM Live. And while it was doing its weird thing this morning, I was checking to see if it was live, but somebody didn't turn that off. So you were listening to me listening to Arrow, so we had like a double thing going on there. But once I got rid of that, it's working fine. Yeah. So here we go. Play one more piece of music. So this one is inspired by I was playing a game with the most awesome person this weekend, Lego Harry Potter. This is part of the soundtrack that was on that. So this is... The Serious Deception. It's a nice, dark, broody piece of music, which I really, really like. Nicholas Hooper composed this piece of music. It's from the Order of the Phoenix soundtrack. This is... I've got that wrong. Why am I playing the wrong piece of music? This is The Death of Sirius. One moment while I find the correct piece of music, because I would just be announcing the wrong one. Oh... I hate Mondays sometimes. I don't know how Garfield feels. So let's see if this works. It's loading. It's loading. Let's see. Yes. man that was, the Sirius Deception, not the death of Sirius, which it was trying to play for me. I also realised during the whole time that it wasn't broadcasting all the cool pictures of, the fields and Castle Point and things. It was just on me, so hopefully I wasn't doing anything weird during that time. I think I was playing with my phone and stuff, but very strange. Technology does what it wants to when it wants to. That's basically me done for the day. I said I'll have a think. I won't do three disaster stories. I'll probably do two disaster stories and some other little thing, so I don't have to just think of what to say. I like just reading stuff, especially on a Monday, and especially when things go slightly awry, which we did today. But we recovered. We still did our show. We did okay. We're fine. The music mostly played, apart from that first one, which somehow played twice. We're all good. So have a good day. Hopefully your morning's gone better than mine. Hopefully mine gets better. I've got it's fine. Have an awesome one. Look after yourselves. Stay warm. Even walking over here, I could see my breath as I was walking here. So it's cold out there. If you're going outside, dress warm. It's not nice. It'll warm up later on for sure, but at the moment, it's not very nice at all. So yes, look after yourselves. Stay warm. We'll catch up with you in a week. Have a good one.